seen the worst of mortgage rate hikes? Are rates leveling off? What does that mean for the market as we head into the spring season? Hi, I'm Rob West. Those are all questions we'd like answered, especially if you're thinking about buying or selling a home. And we know just the guy to do it. We'll talk to Dale Vermillion today to find out what's up with mortgage rates. And then it's on to your questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Dale Vermillion is back with us today. He's author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. Dale, always great to have you with us, my friend.
Great to be here, Rob. Thank you so much.
Dale, how would you describe the trend in mortgage rates these days? And I guess the follow-on to that is there one?
Yeah, you know, it's actually more stable than it's been in some time. Last year was incredibly volatile. As you know, at the end of last year, we were at one point almost over 8%. It steadily climbed down at the end of last year, beginning of this year. And, you know, it's been bouncing around the 6.25 to 6.5 rate mark pretty steadily. So we believe it's going to kind of stay there and then slowly climb down over the next several months until the end of the year.
Yeah. The Fed is expected to start lowering interest rates, perhaps starting next month. They've said maybe 3 decreases in 2024. Some analysts say it could be as many as 6 times, totaling 1.25%. In either of those scenarios, what impact might this have on mortgage rates?
You know, it's interesting because the Fed rate doesn't have a direct correlation to mortgage rates. In fact, sometimes when the Fed rate goes down, mortgage rates go up, and vice versa. But it does, with that large of a drop, we will see an improvement in mortgage rates. Fannie Mae just came out and announced that they believe that rates will be under 6%. Most of the analysts I talk to say rates will be under 6% by the end of this year. And what really is going to drive that more than anything is inflation. As inflation continues to drop and the bond market continues to improve, that's what we're going to see as improvements.
Yeah. What about home values, Dale? What do you think will happen with home values in the months ahead?
You know, they are anticipating this year, the projection just came out for 2024. We believe that it's going to be about a 3.2% increase this year compared to the 7.1% we saw in 2023. Part of that's because listing prices are going to drop this year to accommodate for affordability. So that will have an impact on values. But we're still seeing prices go up. Still a good time to buy.
Yeah, so just appreciating a little bit slower, certainly not seeing any depreciation in home values. What about inventory, Dale? I know this has been one of the issues, that the lack of inventory has kept home prices up.
Yeah, you know, we saw at the end of January that inventory was up to 506,000. If you compare that to last year, it was only 472,000, and the low in 2023 was 240,000. So it's double what it was at its low point. New construction has really been doing well and taking off. That's going to improve inventory. And if rates continue to climb down, as we think they are, we really think we'll see those inventories jump up over 800,000 units by the end of this year. So it's going to get much better before the end of the year and create more opportunities for buyers.
Yeah, very good. Dale, what would you say to someone who's thinking about buying a home in the months ahead? Should they sit on the sideline and wait out the reduction in interest rates? Do you think they should proceed if they're financially ready? What counsel do you have?
I think they should proceed if they're financially ready, if they can create an affordable payment, if they have a good down payment amount that they've got. Because, look, the longer you wait and the more rates drop, the more you're going to see an infusion of people coming to the market trying to buy. And we'll be back to those competitive things like we had back in 2021 when 300 people were bidding on a home and they were going through the roof. So, you know, this is your time to get in right now.
Dale, final question. You know, we're seeing stories about renting being a better value than buying, at least right now, while home values are up and mortgage rates are elevated. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that's not the case. I mean, rents keep going up more than incomes do. So you've got instability there. You have no appreciation that you create whatsoever in a rental. Even at 3%, it's better than zero. And the tax benefits are substantial to buying a home right now and offsets a lot of your costs. You combine all those things plus the fact that the average homeowner has 40 times the wealth that a renter has. you know, it's still the American dream. So I believe that owning a home is the best alternative for people today.
Yeah, I think the key is make sure you are financially ready. Don't stretch to buy a house you can't afford. Dale, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob. God bless you.
That's Dale Vermillion, author of The Mortgage Maze. He's your go-to guy for mortgage questions. Pick up a copy today. Hey, we're back with your questions on anything financial just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Lots of things can get in the way of regular Bible reading. There's work, there's home responsibilities, the kids have extracurricular activities, all sorts of things vying for attention at every moment. And yet, there's nothing more important than reflecting on Scripture. Psalm 1 tells us that the one who meditates on God's law is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Well, reading God's Word is what nourishes us. Like a tree planted near the water grows abundantly, so also, when you read God's Word, you grow spiritually. So spend more time in God's Word. It'll make a difference throughout the rest of your day. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our phone lines are open today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. It was great today to get an update from Dale Vermillion on mortgage rates. Certainly a moving target, and it will be throughout the year. Of course, the Fed expected to see three decreases in 2024. Some analysts say more, although the way the economy has been holding up until just recently may push those decreases further down the road. We're starting to see some chinks in the armor, if you will, with regard to the consumer and related to spending, most recently retail spending. We'll keep an eye on that. But nevertheless, the direction is going to be down over the balance of the year. The question is, what is the right time for you to buy? The key to buying is always, what can I afford in any market, no matter what the interest rates are. I don't want you to stretch and try to buy something you can't afford, especially with the average home price now north of $400,000. We just don't want you to get out of line with your budget in the big three, which is starting with housing and then into transportation and food. So just be on your guard there, and this may be a time to wait, save, and see interest rates come down before you make that purchase. All right, let's turn the corner, though. What are you thinking about today financially? We'd love to tackle it, whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. The number to call today with lines open is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in Illinois. Hi, Carol. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. So do you ask the questions or do I tell you what I need?
Yeah, just tell me what you're looking to tackle today and I'd be happy to weigh in.
Okay. I'm going to be 70 in May. I've been contributing to an Allstate insurance IRA since 85. It is matured. Supposedly, they called me, sent a letter saying that by March, I have to figure out if I'm going to have it allocated to me, taxes taken, or do I want to roll it over. Yeah. My husband has the same exact insurance policy, and we're both making 5%. It was a good policy, and they said that he could keep his in for the whole duration of his life, but I have to take mine out. That was a little confusing. The policy I'm speaking of is worth about $75,000, and I want to know what the best investment. They'd want me to put it back in and roll it over on a 7%, but leave it in till I'm 85. I don't think I want to do that because I have other things that I could take money from if I need to. My income personally, mine is about $5,000 a year. I was self-employed for 40 years, and my Social Security is $450. My husband is a retired policeman. Our total income for the year is about $125, maybe $135.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So when you think about this money, how are you seeing it? Is this money that you don't intend to access in the near term? Would you like to just let it grow? Or do you believe that there is a use that you have for it in the next, let's say, 5 years?
I think there's uses. I need a new car after so many years. Our home is paid for. Okay. There's no problem there. I don't have any bills except for, like, if I go shopping or something, maybe a $3,000 credit card debt. My husband pays all the utilities and whatever. And I don't think I want to wait till I'm 85. You never know in life.
Yes.
My children moved to different states, and I like to visit them.
Sure.
Not a lot of money because we have other investments.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've done a great job. Do you have an advisor, Carol, that manages the other investments, or do you make all these decisions
yourself?
Well,
it's an Allianz. No, we do have somebody. It's an Allianz insurance policy. After I did, it's an annuity, and after I did it, I wasn't too crazy about it. It's through Will Save. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the other options here for this particular IRA and other investments would be to engage an advisor who could actually allow you to roll this out to just a traditional IRA as a rollover. That's not a taxable event. And then it could be managed there. Now, you're increasing the risk because with these insurance annuities that you've had, you're transferring the risk from yourself and the market, whether
right.
it's a stock or bond market, to the insurance company in exchange for guarantees. Now, those guarantees are nice, especially now when interest rates are up because you're getting a pretty attractive rate of return. So what are you giving up to get that? Well, you're giving up access to the funds, as you pointed out.
Right.
So you're going to have surrender penalties if you want to access, you know, a certain amount of money beyond what they might, you know, give you as an annuity stream. And so that's the primary thing that you're giving up, but you're gaining the guaranteed return. So you have kind of a floor on the investment. You can't lose value. Now, if you were to roll it to an IRA and let's say an advisor were to sit with you and get to know you and your husband and what your goals and objectives are and your desire to travel and your lifestyle and, you know, the home renovations you want to do and put a plan together to invest that money in a way that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, that would be a good thing, because then you'd have full access to the money and you'd also have the ability to grow it at a reasonable rate. But you're also assuming some risk with that, because the stock and bond market can be down. We could get into a recession. You could lose money. So you would have to look at that over the long haul and say, I'm okay with at least a portion of my investable assets or our investable assets being at the risk of the stock and bond market, because we're taking a long time horizon. You know, even once you reach age 65, I think you said, you're in your 70s, is that right?
I'm going to be 70 in May.
Okay. So, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, I mean, you still need this money to last decades, right? So we have the ability for you.
Yeah, I'm not in the best health, but I'm good.
Okay. So we have the ability for you to take a long-term perspective, which would mean that you'd, you know, if we got into a recession this year, or maybe we skirt it this year and it happens a couple of years from now, and the market was down 20 or 30%, and let's say your portfolio was down 15%, so that $75,000 is, you know, now worth 65, you'd have to be okay with that, because you know that you're waiting on the market to recover and you're taking a long perspective. And if you do that, you can be rewarded for it and still keep access to your money. But give me your thoughts on that. Are you more inclined to continue with something guaranteed, or are you okay with that?
You know, I was thinking of, I've been self-employed for a long time, and I go to these meetings and all these classes, and they were talking about a charitable contribution fund. And it, it goes to the family. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, probably a charitable gift annuity. Does that sound familiar?
I think so. I listen to you all the time. You are my financial advisor.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, so there's a couple of options here. One is called a qualified charitable distribution, which is where you can take money out of that IRA, give it straight to a ministry like American Family Association or your church, and it's not a taxable event. So it doesn't get added to your taxable income as it would with any other kind of distribution. So that's one option. The second option is what's called a charitable gift annuity, which is basically where you'd roll it into an annuity. You could get an income stream for life based on your age and life expectancy and the balance on the annuity. And then at your death, whatever remains would go to that particular charity. So you could use a CGA here at American Family Association. You get, and your husband get, the income for the rest of your lives. You get a partial deduction against your taxes when it goes in. And then at your death, AFA would get the rest of the money, which is just a wonderful option for your giving. So those are other options as well. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. Let's you and I finish off the air. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Real life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got a couple of lines open today, 800-525-7000. Well, that's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Media professionals, podcasters, broadcasters, those in radio and TV, all gathering together to talk about how we can take God's word and the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth through the airwaves. It's been an incredible week, and we're delighted to bring you the program here from Nashville, Tennessee this week at the Opryland Hotel. It's going to get busy around here. President Trump is coming in today and speaking tonight, so it's about to change a little bit, the vibe in the air, no doubt, and the security, but that's all a good thing. But we're looking forward to tackling your questions today at 800-525-7000. We have a few lines open, and we'd love to dive into whatever you're thinking about today. Let's go back to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Harold. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Ron. Question for you is, I had a house in East Texas. I had a couple in there. Things went sideways. They're trying to sue us. The house has been sold. The money was put in escrow from my attorney. He paid what was left of my mortgage off. Now, and we're still haggling about who gets what. Whatever money I'm going to get is going to be a good chunk of money less than what I bought the house for 20 years ago. My question is, can I deduct that loss off my taxes?
Yeah, unfortunately not. So losses from the sale of a personal use property, such as your home or car, are not deductible, unfortunately. So it's not a deductible expense.
Okay, I appreciate
it. All right. Okay, thanks very much. Okay. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Texas. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so I have a question. We're this month going to pay off our car, and we bought this thing about 3 years ago. It was used, and we're going to pay it off this month, and we're wanting to eventually buy another vehicle for our property, a truck.
Yeah.
And I've heard lots of things about, you know, rolling your old payment into a savings for the new. One thing I had a question about is just how's the best way to go about purchasing a new vehicle financially? And in particular, when we bought our last car, I heard lots of talk about how it's not good to pay your car loan off before 2 years. So I was wondering, should we try to save up and buy cash? Is it something we should go into debt, you know, and get another car loan? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. I love that you're thinking about this and trying to be, you know, thoughtful about how you go into this. You know, it's always best to borrow, Jeff, to buy without borrowing, if at all possible. So that's why we talk a lot about, you know, this idea that once you pay off a car, let's keep making that payment, except to the bank of yourself, so that you're building up a cash reserve. You could go in and buy that car with cash. Reason being, you're just going to save on interest. And so let's keep our expenses to a minimum, especially with interest rates higher these days. There's less incentives that are available on new car purchases related to financing. So I think you've got a couple of options. Certainly, if you can afford it, you can buy new. And in the last couple of years, it's been more appealing than ever because used car prices have been up so significantly. We saw year-over-year increases in used cars 2 years ago of 16%. Now, in the last 12 months, they've been coming down, and the reason being that we had a shortage in chips that are used in these new cars. Therefore, new car inventories, because of the supply chain constraints, were limited. That created a pressure on used cars and drove those prices up. A lot of that is changing now as more inventory is available. Used car prices are coming down. So I think we're back to a situation where, you know, it's worth looking at buying a 2 or 3 year old car and trying to miss some of that rapid depreciation that occurs in the first couple of years of a new car purchase. Doesn't mean you should never buy a new car. If nobody bought new cars, we wouldn't have any cars at all in a matter of time. So I'm not against that. I just want you to start with your budget and make sure that you're not spending an inordinate amount. You know, really your transportation category all in should be less than 15% of your spendable income after taxes and other deductions. So in terms of how to go about that, I love the idea of you all saving, buying with cash, and then driving it as long as you can. I mean, usually the car that you own right now is the least expensive car in terms of if you can just continue to drive it, take care of it, maintain it well for a couple of 100,000 miles, that's where you really get some value out of it. In terms of how to go about that purchase, I think, research is key, taking your time, starting with the make and the model, looking at consumer reports and reliability ratings. I think then once you kind of land on what your budget is, then we're looking at the actual year, make and model that we want to buy that fits our budget, whether that's new or a newer used car, and then really just scouring, the internet for that car. The last car I purchased, I jumped on an airplane and flew 3 states away after about a month and a half of research, because I was able to save about $3,000 or $4,000 on the particular car I wanted versus anything else in my area. And so it just made sense. So if you're willing to put the time in, you can get a good deal. But it does take some time and some effort. So anyway, I've thrown a lot at you there, Jeff. What are your thoughts?
Oh, that's amazing advice. I like that. I like the idea of being resourceful, scouring the internet. I really appreciate, no pun intended, what you said about avoiding the depreciation. That's something that I've never really understood, maybe because I've never been in a position where I could buy a new vehicle. But, that's awesome. I think we'll continue to put our money into the saving and start doing some research and figure out, what we want to be prepared for. Thank you, Rob.
I love that, Jeff. Absolutely. The other thing you'll have to consider along the way is whether to get the extended warranty on it. I will tell you, although there's going to be some in the listening audience that say it saved us, it was worth every penny, only about 25% of people in the latest Consumer Reports study I've read say that they would purchase it again, because a lot of times the fine print takes away what you think you're getting. So just do your due diligence before you spend a lot of money on an extended warranty if you buy used. Hey, we appreciate you being on the program, sir. God bless you. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Here's the reality, folks. This is a high calling. We're stewards or managers of God's resources, and we want to be found faithful. How do you do that? Well, you have to understand the heart of the master. Any steward does. If you're going to manage the master's resources, you have to know what's on the master's heart. Well, we go back to God's word to find that. What is it that God would have us to do? Well, we would know from scripture that he's to be our ultimate treasure, not the things of this world, that money is one of God's good creations, but we can't worship the creation over the creator. We need to see money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, but it can be an incredible blessing. It doesn't have to be a source of frustration and conflict, because we can use it to provide, we can use it to give. It's one of God's good gifts to us if we put it in its proper context. The problem is the world would have us to believe that money and the things that money can buy can give us lasting fulfillment and satisfaction. The abundance that we were created to seek, we can't find in money. We can only find in God. And when we get that in the right framework, we can then use money as a gift, as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, we want to help you do that on this program every day with your practical questions, the decisions you're trying to make in your financial life. We've got a few lines open. We're taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. All right, let's go right back to the phones. Tennessee is where we're headed next. Pat, go right ahead.
Hi, I have a 401k that was from my business, shared by my husband and I, and it's like $130,000. There's just so much stuff in
government. Having a little bit of phone noise there, Pat. Make sure you just hold that phone real still and go ahead. You said you had an IRA, and go ahead with the rest of the question.
And I'd like to be able to put the money in some place that the government can't get it, but that it will grow. And I was thinking of doing shares of collectibles. And I wondered what you thought about that and what you think would be the best to do.
Yeah.
Like art.
So unfortunately, you're not allowed to use qualified money, so 401k and IRA, to invest in collectibles. So that would include anything like artwork or stamps or rugs or automobiles, things like that, that are deemed a collectible, a prohibited transaction. And so the extent to which you made that purchase, it would be immediately considered a distribution from the account equal to the cost of the collectible.
Okay. And what about once you start taking money out, because now we're both, my husband and I are both 72 or more, and we would have to take something out anyway. Can I not use that at that point?
Oh, sure. So after you take it out, it's a distribution. You can use it for whatever purpose you want. So at that point, you would be able to give it away. You could buy a collectible with it. You could put it under the mattress. I wouldn't advise it, but you can. So yeah, once it's out as a distribution, you can use it for whatever purpose you'd like. Now, the other way to get it out once you're 70 and a half is through a qualified charitable distribution. So a QCD is basically a way where from your IRA, you could give it to a charity or ministry. And if you're worried about how it's going to be used, putting it into circulation in God's economy is a great way to use that money. And that would not be added to your taxable income. But every other distribution would be, and then you could use it for whatever purpose you want, including the purchase of those collectibles.
Okay. And well, great. That sounds good, because also I am going from a two-story house to a one-story house. And it is a little bit more than the two-story house, what I could get for it as opposed to the new house. But I have a whole bunch of furniture in the new house that they didn't want to do anything with. It's yours. It's the whole house. And so I had planned along definitely to put that available to the people in my church that help people get things that they need, like furniture. And so that would work well in my thinking of what I can do. And also I'll be able to contribute to missions and things like that more than I have in the past.
Yeah, sounds great. I think the key is you can't give it direct to an individual. So it would have to be given to your church, and then they could then pass it on in the ways you're describing. But yeah, I think that's a great option. You would just want to call your plan, the custodian of that 401k, and let them know that you want to do a qualified charitable distribution, and they can tell you how to do that.
Okay, now my IRA is completely independent. I don't have a custodian except for myself.
Okay, but who's the brokerage firm that sends you the statements every quarter or month?
Nobody does. I just check my account. It's completely independent.
Where do you check that account? When you go to check it, where do you log in to do that?
The money is being held in Wells Fargo.
Ah, Wells Fargo. So you would want to contact Wells Fargo about that IRA and let them know that you are looking to do a qualified charitable distribution.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thanks so much for your call.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. To Virginia we go. Hi, Donald. Go ahead.
$300,000 laying in a savings account in the bank. I think they're paying 0.5%. What would you do with it if it was yours?
Well, I'd immediately, while I was deciding what to do with it, move it into something that's going to pay me more than 0.5%. So there are some great options out there. If you want full FDIC insurance on it, the backing of the U.S. government, you'd need to split it up into either two different account types. So what I mean by that is, $250,000 in a joint account if you're married, and then if you had another $50,000 in one titled in your name only with your wife as the beneficiary, those are two different account types. And that would give you then the full coverage on it. But I'd look at one of the online banks. I'd go to bankrate.com. I'd look for somebody that has FDIC insurance that's 5-star rated. And then, I would look at moving that and getting 5% on your money. Because, at $300,000, you're giving up, quite a bit of money right now, by having that at 0.5%. I mean, you could get $15,000 over the next 12 months there. Then I would be looking as a next step at how I want to use the money. Is this earmarked for a certain purpose? Is it, to be given away? Is it for a major purchase? Is it just money you're going to hang on to in the future? And if it's really, for that portion that's beyond what I would call your emergency fund, I'd be looking at investing it, and you could be fairly conservative if you want to with that. But that way you could grow it even beyond, that 5% a year long term and offset the effects of inflation, which is reducing the purchasing power of that money each year. But give me your thoughts on that.
None of the above. I don't need it. It's laying there because I keep procrastinating.
Okay.
And like you said, I realize I'm losing money.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm retired, 78 years old. I don't need it.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a great place to be. So, you know, I think you've got a couple of options. One, you could give it away and get it into circulation into God's kingdom. I think you could hang on to it and keep it there for the future. And I think then you have to just decide how much risk do I want to take? Do I want to be locked up in CDs, maybe ladder it, maybe put $50,000 in a high-yield savings and then take the balance in a one-year CD, a two-year CD, and a three-year CD and basically take no risk? Or do I want to invest it in stocks and bonds? And we can have a certified Kingdom Advisor help you at faithfi.com. So I think you've got some options, Donald. We appreciate your call. We'll be right back.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
The closer we get to heaven, the more we should reflect its character. Here's the essence of the principle again. You become like the place you most want to go, and you become like the person you most want to see.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, Christ-like Character, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, at the beautiful Opryland Hotel, where it's always 72 degrees because it's inside. It's like a city inside. It's wild. You have no idea whether it's freezing cold outside or warm because you never leave the building. But there's a lot of wonderful people here talking about some really important things. How do we keep God's word on the airwaves and through media and film and podcasts? Keep the proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And that's really the focus here for everybody that's gathered here for this convention. But we're delighted to bring you our program every day live from NRB, and also continue to take your calls and questions. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear your questions at 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, David. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. I got it's probably a simple answer to a complicated question, but I've transferred my 401k, which was pre-tax, into a Fidelity account, and I've set up my local church as a charitable account in there. And my question is, if I transfer money from my Fidelity account straight to the church, what are my tax liabilities on that?
Yeah, so what type of account is it? Is it an IRA?
No, it's a rollover IRA, so it's all pre-tax money. So any money that I pull out of there, I have to pay taxes on it.
That's right.
But if I transfer it straight from that fund to my church, say use my RMDA for the tithe, mm-hmm. Do I pay taxes on that or just get a tax
credit? You do not. No, it's a great question. And this is a lesser known tool, but it's called a qualified charitable distribution. It's really the only way to get money out of the IRA without it being added to your taxable income. So what are the tax implications of a QCD? Well, you don't get a deduction on the money, but you get the money out of that pre-tax account without it being added to your taxable income, which is the real benefit. So you, in your case, you've got that required minimum every year. It sounds like you don't need the money. So money that you would have otherwise given to your church out of checking or savings, after-tax money, you could replace, if you wanted to, with the money coming out of your IRA that you have to take out anyway. But now, through the qualified charitable distribution, it's not going to increase your taxable income for the year. So everybody wins. You keep more money, the church gets more money, and you've satisfied the IRS requirement.
Okay, that's a perfect answer.
All right. Thanks for your call, David. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000. You know, tax time is right around the corner. We're actually going to be hearing from a few of our tax experts in the future right here on these airwaves. And, you know, as we think about taxes, let me challenge you with a different perspective. I mean, God's word is clear. We're to pay our taxes, right? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God's and to God what is God's. So we are to pay our taxes. We're not to pay any more than we need to pay. And I think it's symptomatic of provision. So one approach is to say, you know what, as I pay my taxes, I can be grateful for God, the providing that resource, those that income that then became taxable. But the key is we need to pay what we owe. So often, and more people are getting behind, not filing their taxes. Perhaps you haven't filed in years and you're just wondering, I don't know how to get back on track. I don't know what the IRS is going to say, so I'm just going to avoid it. Here's the thing. Get current. Get on a payment plan if you have to. Pay those taxes because it's going to create big problems down the road, and it's just what we need to do. We need to stay current with that obligation. All right, let's go back to the phones to Ohio. Hi, Katie. How can I help?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. So my husband and I, we're 35 and 37, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. He works really hard. We've been able to save up about just under $600,000 between all of our IRAs and 401ks and all of that. We do contribute $1,000 a year to our kids' college funds. We have three kids. So those are pretty good. All in all, those are about $23,000. We have a mortgage balance. We owe $184,000, but our house is worth probably $320,000. So I guess we tithe, we give on top of that to other charities that, you know, we believe in. We have life insurance, term insurance, all that. I feel like we've done everything right, but is there more we can be doing? Do we give more? Do we just enjoy the rest? I'll be honest, we don't budget. We save what we save. We meet all that, max that out every year, the HSAs, IRAs, 401ks, all of that. Yeah. But can we just enjoy the rest? Do we give more? What else can we do?
You know, it's a great question, Katie. I mean, first of all, let me just affirm what you're doing. You and your husband are making some really wise decisions. I believe you're honoring the Lord with the decisions you're making. You've put yourself in a really strong position financially. I mean, you guys are still a few years away from 40. And, you know, the assets that you've built up, the thoughtful planning you've done around college, the fact that you're giving generously and systematically, and you're going beyond the tithe. I mean, all of that is great. And so I think you're asking the right question, which is, you know, first of all, you're saying, can I enjoy it? Absolutely. I think, you know, 1 Timothy is clear that one of the reasons God gives us this good gift of money, of his resources, is to enjoy. Now, the question is, how do we find that right level of enjoyment for us? And I don't think anyone can tell you what that is. You know, what's the right car for you to drive? How much house is enough? You know, what vacation is appropriate and which one isn't? That's ultimately between you and the Lord. And so I think because you're in this position where you can ask these questions and really seek God's guidance on what stewardship should look like for you and your husband and your family, I would encourage you to maybe, if you guys don't get away annually to do some planning, maybe this is the year for you to do that. And just spend some time maybe praying individually and asking God to just reveal his heart and direction for you all as a couple and as a family. And then spend some time together talking about your values and priorities. What is it you want to be known for? What is it you want to accomplish? What causes that are on the heart of God also intersect with your passions? Is it the ministry of God's justice or the ministry of God's mercy or the ministry of God's word, preaching and teaching and discipleship? And then look at perhaps being as thoughtful about your investment strategy in the area of giving and really thinking about what you ultimately would like to do there. But I also think enjoying it is not something you should feel guilty about or ashamed about, because again, I believe that's got part of God's plan. Part of your enjoyment of what he's blessed you with is going to build relationships with your family and deepen those relationships and create memories for you all as your kids are growing up. But I think you also want to involve them in the thoughtfulness around how to use God's money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So they see mom and dad, you know, being thoughtful about how we use God's money, about giving generously, about the fact that, you know, we should be involved in God's activity. And one way we can do that is through our giving. So I guess at the end of the day, what I would say is, number one, I affirm the decisions you've made. Way to go. Second, can you enjoy God's money? Should you feel guilty about that? Absolutely not. But third, where do you go from here? I think that's a matter of prayer, seeking God's wisdom for you all as a couple, talking about what's most important to you, talking about how much is enough for your lifestyle and your accumulation, because you all, given how much you've saved in these early days, you have the ability to, what I would say, over accumulate if you're not careful. So defining your finish line, I think, would be an important step along the way. And then looking for opportunities not only to enjoy what God's given you, but to continue to increase your giving. And perhaps that's not just out of cash flow. You know, that may even be looking at giving on your assets as well. Maybe you're looking to give 1% a year of your assets, you know, beyond the systematic giving you're doing on your monthly or annual increase from income. So anyway, those are a few thoughts. How does that resonate with you?
No, that's good. Definitely wise advice, of course. Would you pay off the mortgage?
You know, I think that's between, it's really up to you guys. I mean, if you all prayed about it, and that would be one of the questions I would ask the Lord, and you all came away, one or both of you, with just a real conviction to be debt-free as soon as possible, I'd say go for it. Apart from that, if you have a fairly low interest rate, I mean, I think given the fact that you guys have, I mean, you're almost at 50% equity in your 30s. You're well on your way to having this paid off by retirement. So I don't think that's an essential just from a financial perspective, unless you have a conviction about that otherwise.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Katie. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. You know, folks, as we think about managing God's money, we can often find ourselves in a position where we're operating out of guilt. And that's not God's heart for us. I think, you know, we can see plenty of people in God's word that had incredible wealth. I mean, King Solomon comes to mind, David. I mean, so many others. It's all about our heart posture, right? What are we doing with what we've been given? Are we holding it loosely? Or are we holding it with a clenched fist? Do we find our value and our self-worth in our net worth? Are we allowing it to occupy a place that was intended for God? Because remember, it's not just that God is the access to our abundance. He is our abundance, right? So we treasure God above everything else. And then when we put money in its proper place, it can be an incredible tool. And if God's given you the gift of making money, he's blessed you with much, the question you should be asking and praying through is, why, Lord? Why have you entrusted this to me? And what am I to do with it each day? Yes, I can enjoy it, but how should I give it away? And what should I be doing to further your kingdom? Because what we don't want to do is get caught up in the temporal, the here and the now, keeping up with the Joneses, the comparison trap, trying to find our security and our fulfillment in the things of this world. That's not God's heart, and ultimately that will leave you with frustration. And we know that God is the ultimate answer there. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Hey, thanks for joining us on the broadcast today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls. It's always a joy to be invited into your story. worries as we think about how we can use God's money and be faithful in our management of those resources. Let me say thanks to my team today. I couldn't do this without them. Back in Tupelo, Mr. Adam Suddeth and Robert Youngblood handling things there. Here in Nashville, Mr. Devin Patrick, our producer. And I'm Rob West. On behalf of that team and many more, this has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.